In this manner, therefore, pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Your will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread.
And forgive us our debt.
As we forgive our debtors.
Lead us not into temptation.
But deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom.
The kingdom.
The kingdom.
And the power.
The power.
The power.
The power and the glory. The
glory.
And the glory.
Again, forever.
Forever and ever.
Forever.
Forever and ever.
Amen.
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 Amen. Love hearing our shepherds pray as we come to the conclusion of our series on the Lord's Prayer. Reminds me of a movie. I don't know if you like to look for good old movies, but I love the Indiana Jones movies. In The Last Crusade, Indiana Jones was his dad, and they're one of those big hydrogen-filled Zeppelins, and they're trying to escape the Germans, and they're running, and they finally land on a little airplane that they can take out off with. And so they get in the airplane and they start flying. And Indiana Jones is flying the airplane. And his dad says, "I didn't know you can fly." And Indiana Jones says, "I can fly. I just don't know how to land." And often that's sort of the way we are. We don't quite know how to land the plane. Just think about so many examples when you're around people. You've probably seen it in preachers, all right, where they just, they're preaching and it's come to the conclusion, they keep repeating themselves and keep saying the same things and go on wild goose chase. I know you've never seen it here, all right, but often preachers have a hard time landing the plane. Or maybe you've been in a business presentation where it was given a certain amount of time and they just couldn't bring it to an end. Or maybe you know certain people, if you get in a conversation with them, it's just not going to stop. Or maybe even in your life group, don't point at anybody right now, there's somebody who just can't land the plane. But most of us, because of our insecurity in prayer, have a hard time landing the plane in prayer. It's like, how do I bring this to a conclusion? And this morning, we look at the disciples landing the plane of the Lord's Prayer. Now, something you may have noticed in the elders' reading right there was an addition to what we've been saying. For instance, if you have an NIV, which most of us do, the Lord's Prayer ends in "lead us not into temptation, lead us, not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." But if you read it in the King James Version, there's an addition. And it goes this way, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, why is that true? Well, we're about to, man, I can go in all kinds of directions right now. Why is that true? Yeah, because if you've ever been in an audience, I can remember once being somewhere and they're praying the Lord's Prayer and, you know, they stop, you know, on the evil one and I just keep going, and you go, "Shut up, buddy, shut up." So why are there two? Well, there seems to be some ancient manuscripts that have the conclusion we're looking at today, but it seems like really earlier manuscripts probably didn't have that. So what's going on here? Now, let me quote a couple scholars about this before we get into it. N.T. Wright says, "The concluding doxology, that's thine is the kingdom, power, and glory, doesn't appear in Matthew or Luke, but is well established within a century or so of Jesus' day. It is actually inconceivable within the Jewish praying styles of this day that Jesus would have intended the prayer to stop simply with deliver some evil." That's just not the way they prayed. Another scholar named Adam Hamilton writes, "By the end of the first century, Christians were reciting this doxology as a shout of praise in response to the prayer. Short words of praise are common throughout the Bible, and this doxology was actually a repetition of David's words in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. So it's a beautiful part of the Lord's Prayer. So I'd like you to stand with me right now, and let's read the Lord's Prayer with the doxology. And just think about these words. Our Father, let's read it out loud. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So let's talk about this a little bit. First of all, what's added there at the end is called a doxology. A doxology is from two Greek words, logos, which means words, and dox, which means praise. And what I believe is this is the final part of this reset we've been talking about from the first of the year. It's literally a heart reset. Remember, the Lord's Prayer begins with praise, and the Lord's Prayer ends with praise. And as someone says, what the Lord's Prayer is intended to do is move my heart from my and mine to thy and thine. You got that? Because naturally, I'm focused on me. And so even in my prayers, I've noticed that normally if I don't follow this outline, I'm just going to ask for what I want. And there's a part of this prayer that happens that, to do that. But the reset is to go, you know, my prayers need to be more about his will than my will. And then it, just in my heart, in everyday life, this prayer is not just simply meant to be a prayer of repetition. It's meant to be a reset of your heart. That's why we've been showing that red reset button all the time, because this is something that you can touch that can literally change everything. Because our natural tendency, of course, is to be selfish. I love a quotation from a missionary to India in the early 1900s, E. Stanley Jones. He says, the most used word in hell is the word I. And to be focused on yourself today is to be in hell today. So we know that's our tendency, but we also know it makes us miserable. And that's why we need this prayer, to reset me on God. So the central question of your life is, will your life be more focused on yourself or on God? Will my life be more focused on me or God? I ask you, as you look over this past week even, where has your focus been? So we need this, what I call bold doxology. It's not just poetry, it's beautiful. It's a bold proclamation, confession of who God is and who we're not. So let's look at those three phrases. Number one, yours is the kingdom. Now, we struggle with the word kingdom because we don't have a lot of kingdoms. A kingdom is simply a place where you have a king. Now, in Jesus' day, when this is mentioned, oh, they understood kingdom. Luke chapter 2, the birth story of Jesus, it mentions that Jesus was born during the reign of Caesar Augustus. That was Caesar Augustus had ruled Rome for 25 years then, and he had established more power than anybody since Alexander the Great. He ruled from Gibraltar to Jerusalem, from Britain to the Black Sea. He achieved world domination. In a nutshell, when Jesus talks about kingdom, that's what people think about. Listen to this quotation. There you have it in a nutshell, the whole structure of a human kingdom. A kingdom of absolute power, bringing glory to the man on top and peace to those on whom his favor rested. Yes, Caesar Augustus brought peace to the world. It just came at a terrible, terrible price. So when Jesus says for us to pray, yours is the kingdom, it's a revolutionary claim. You look at the kingdom that Caesar Augustus had, you look at this little innocent baby in a manger, and you think, this dude does not have a kingdom. So what is this saying to us? It's saying, guys, our top allegiance is to Jesus. Now, in the first century, guys, that was radical. You were to give praise to Caesar. He was the God. And for Jesus to come in this subversive way and say, no, that's not top. That's not your real king. And even today, guys, our highest allegiance is to Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I love our country. But I have a higher allegiance to Jesus Christ than I do to the United States of America. Amen? That's where our allegiance belongs. Jesus is king. My life is not on my own. My priorities are not ultimate. My will is not supreme. His is. So what this establishes is Jesus is king over every area of my life. Now, what's our role? I love how the Apostle Paul puts it. He's the king. We're the ambassadors. What does that mean? We represent Jesus' kingdom everywhere we go. So we don't bring peace by brute force like Caesar Augustus did. We bring peace on earth through radical love. Lost people are saved. Hurting people are healed. Purposeless people find meaning. You know, for those of us in affluent America, we're not always so much looking for the next meal or the security. We've got all that. Most of us, not all of us. And the temptation of that is to just fill myself and my life with endless entertainment and distractions and things instead of putting God on the throne. I've been reading an incredible book lately called What Men Need. I just want to quote two quotations there that really hit me hard. You will struggle with feeling meaningless. Anybody ever struggle that way? Like, man, I got all this stuff and all these things going, but what's the meaning of my life? You will struggle with meaningless when you choose to invest your time and energy in meaningless things. And things that really won't matter 100 years from now is what I invest my time in, my life will be meaningless. And then here's this quotation. I wasn't created simply for entertainment. But if I invest in what matters, adding value to others in God's kingdom, ooh, I love this, I will come alive. That's what we do in this kingdom. We seek his kingdom first. And then the second phrase is, not only is yours the kingdom, but yours is the power. That word power there literally means dynamite. You see, we are confessing that he has the power. Now, right now, in the world stage, we see a display of incredible power, military power. Amazing. But here's what this passage says. That doesn't compare at all to the power of a God who created all of creation with a whisper. So when we say yours is the power, we're confessing, I can't save myself. I'm not going to find peace and joy inside me like the world would tell me. I can't change the people around me. I can't control tomorrow. But we also confess, with God, we are not powerless. Through his power, as the prayer says, we can bring his kingdom to earth. We can bring heaven to earth. Through his power, we are able to do what we couldn't do naturally, forgive someone who did us wrong. Through his power, I would be able to overcome the temptation that's plagued me and the evil around me. Now, how do we tap that power? Well, first of all, obviously, just through prayer. That's one thing I really appreciated about seeing our elders lead this prayer as we conclude. And one thing I want you to know about the leadership of this church, whether it's ministry staff or elders, is, man, I've never been a place where we prayed so much. I mean, our meetings are actually, thank God, dominated less by what we think and more by talking to God. And I think that's powerful. And also, we tap the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm so excited about Easter. We'll start a new series on Easter Sunday about the very power that resurrected Jesus from the dead. It'll be about the Holy Spirit. Because, guys, yes, on our own, we're powerless. But with him, we become powerful. You know, I've been so excited lately about all the baptisms that have been going on here. And it's been a really beautiful thing. But I would tell you my position on baptism has changed through the years. In fact, I think it's strengthened, actually. I used to think baptism, the power of baptism, was if I understood it correctly and I did it correctly, and my hand didn't pop up in the middle of it. You ever been there where they called a timeout? Timeout, let's rebaptize this person. Hand didn't go under. Thank you for laughing. I mean, here's where I've come. Baptism is not the moment where I save myself. That's false doctrine. Baptism is the moment I say, there ain't no way I could ever save myself. I can't go to church enough, can't pray enough, can't do enough good deeds. What are you going to do, buddy? I'm going to throw myself on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Now that's what can save me. That's where the power is. So praise God for all of you that are coming and surrendering your life to Jesus and meeting that. So yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, and finally, yours is the glory. Glory literally means weight, weightiness, importance, significance. And what this says is all glory belongs to God. Anything that is more important to you than God, any person, anything, any activity, is an idol. But we live in a world, man, where we love the glory. It's so funny watching generations and how much it's changed. Many of you are too young to remember this, but there was a day when a college athlete would score a touchdown and they would just hand the ball to the referee and go back to the bench. They didn't go, they didn't do some dance in the end zone. They didn't call attention to themselves. That was unheard of. It just, but today we live in a culture like, it's all about me. Did you see me? Did you see what I did? Bring some glory to me. That's why I love those moments in football when a guy is running for a touchdown and he starts celebrating on the 5-yard line and drops the ball before he gets over the goal line. Because what he thinks was going to be a moment of glory, sorry to say this, actually is a moment of shame, all right? And what Jesus is saying to us here is, guys, you don't need to go for your own glory, your own self-importance. You need to reflect his glory. It's like going out on a night of a full moon. And it seems almost like it's day. What's going on here? The sun is being reflected by the moon, which gives you almost daylight. Do you see that? That's your job. That's my job. We're not the glory. We're not the sun. We're simply meant to reflect the sun. The opposite of that would be on a solar eclipse. Because in a solar eclipse, you have the sun, you have the moon, but the earth blocks the sun from the moon. And so on that night, you walk out and it's pitch black. And my friends, that's what happens when you want the glory for ourselves and not for God. We get in the way of the glory of God. So the question we need to be asking is, does this bring glory to God? Do I have to get credit? Do I have to get praise? Or am I happy just giving God glory? So I love this doxology. It's so powerful. It says so much. And I hope you can see that this doxology was a response to the beauty of this prayer. It's as if, oh my goodness, how could we end this thing without praising God? Now, let me give you some practical points real quickly. When we get the doxology right, a lot of things change. First of all, we get a correct sense of perspective. Here's our battle. Too often, I believe life is really about me. This doxology says, oh no, it's not about you, it's about God. Now, we fight about that. Back in the 15th century, when Galileo first tried to explain to people that we were not the center of the universe. Because before that time, you know, everyone believed the earth was the center and everything rotated around the earth. Well, Galileo, the scientists, understand, no. We weren't the center. The sun was the center and we rotated around it. Now you think that shouldn't be a very big deal. The government authorities threw him in jail. The church actually threw him out of the church because we want to stay in the middle. I'm telling you, my friends, life doesn't work when you keep yourself in the middle, because everything's not ever going to go your way. The moment we decide, and this prayer helps us, life is not about me, it's going to be so much better. Number two is a sense of gratitude. So often, what spoils my joy is I run a rotating list about what's not going right in my life. But this prayer says, oh, no. Well, let's change the focus from the negative in your life to the amazing positives about who God is, so much so that I got to praise him. Number three, it brings a sense of peace. Think about this, guys. What this prayer says is no matter how big your problem is, I guarantee you every one of us walked in this room with some problems today. No matter how big your problem is, God is bigger. And that's why it gives us, number four, a sense of hope. Because this is not the end. God's bigger than your sin. God's bigger than your mistakes. He's bigger than your disappointments. He's bigger than your health crisis. He's bigger than your hurts. We're praying and believing that God's kingdom is coming. That's such a cool phrase in the Bible. It's come, it's coming, and one day it will fully come. We know in this period of time, never will things be exactly right. But when he comes, it'll all be great. It's coming. This is not the end. And that brings me to number five, which is so critical here. If I get the doxology right, I get a sense of praise. You see, that's what I want you to really get from this closing lesson. If we understand the truth of the Lord's Prayer about God and about us, the response is to worship God. My favorite definition I've ever read about worship came from a man named Mike Cope. Worship is a response of all that I am. And then there's a parenthesis on his statement. Worship is the response of all that I am. Head, heart, hands. Mental, emotional, physical. It's a complete response of all that I am to all that he is. And so worship's the response. So as we conclude our study in just a very few minutes, we're going to have a big block of songs. But what I want us to do is just, we're going to have 15 minutes of just praising God. And what I encourage you is, guys, you don't get into worship by the preacher saying, you need to get into it, or Jeremy saying, well, aren't y'all singing good enough? Or no, that's pointless. You'll get into worship if you see how great God is and how bad you need him. So we're going to spend a nice praise block. Now, during that praise block, and please pay attention or you're going to be lost for the next few minutes, okay? During that praise block, there are communion tables all around the worship center. We're not all going to go during the first song. If you want to, you can. But during that 15 minutes, there'll be three songs. At whatever point you feel compelled, I encourage you to go to the table and take the emblems. It is a part of your praise. You know what this table is called in 1 Corinthians? The table of thanksgiving. Let that be a part of your praise these next few moments. And on top of that, while we're doing all this, if you are ready to confess that your life is too centered on you, and you need the prayers of the church to say, it's not about me, it's about God. I need to reset my life. I know there's some of you here today that are contemplating surrendering your life to Jesus and saying, I can't save myself, but what Jesus did could, and you want to be baptized. Sometimes in the next 10, 15 minutes, meet me on this front row, and you will begin life anew this morning. So three things are going on at the same time. a great period of praise. When you feel compelled, take communion. And then if you need to respond, just meet us up here. But one more thing. Let's nail the landing, because this prayer, it's not just a good landing, it nails the landing. And there's one more word you see up on the screen. After it says, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory, oh my goodness, then it adds forever. You ever watch a gymnast who nails the landing? They run down, they launch off what's called the vaulting table. They spin and flip, and then they land. And we say they nail the landing when they land and their feet are stuck on the mat. They don't step back. They don't step forward. They don't move to the side. They just, we say, either they stuck it or they landed it. Everything so far has been awesome. But the final landing is, we're not talking about temporary. This one word, forever, changes everything. Listen closely. Earthly kingdoms and nations will rise and fall. Human power will always weaken, and fame and glory will fade. But God's kingdom, God's power, God's glory is eternal. And that changes everything. It changes how you face difficulties. It's forever. I think about in Jesus' day, toward the end of the first century, when this prayer is being prayed, you have Christians who are being arrested, and Caesar's using them as entertainment. So you might have a Christian in the middle of the Roman Colosseum waiting for the lions to devour him. The emperor, Caesar, is up in the stands. He's got enough power to give a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Thumbs up, he's dead. Tradition tells us the early Christians prayed the Lord's Prayer at least three times a day. So I imagine that lone Christian standing in the middle of that Colosseum with Caesar thinking his fate is in his hands, prays the Lord's Prayer. And then he could look up and say, Mr. Emperor, you've got it wrong. Your kingdom will be destroyed. Your name will be forgotten. Caesar will be a good name for a dog. But Jesus' name, 2,000 years later, will be glorified today by millions of people. You don't have the kingdom or the power or the glory. You don't control me. And so I love the way the final word is a word we might skip. Amen. Yours is the power. Yours is the kingdom, the glory, forever. Amen. What does that word amen say? It literally means so be it. Maybe a more practical definition would be this. Make it real to me. Make it real to me. In all the crazy world I live in, all the craziness of my life, may this be more real than what I see. And so this morning, as you're praising God, as you're taking communion, as you're responding, this is your time, after hearing this beautiful prayer and this beautiful doxology, to do exactly what the early Christians had to do, which was to praise him. And in this moment, I want you to recognize, more than anything that's going to happen over this next week, what is truly real. Your chance right now, by the way you praise God, is to say, amen, so it be, make it real to me. Let's stand together and praise him.